I don't want to see freaking Tori's crotch.
I didn't mean to hit the video button.
God almighty. Let's just keep this all in. This is a rolling intro.
Welcome to Pixelated Radio, playing the best of yesterday and today. I'm your host, Henderson Mann, and with us this week is Corey.
Hey, guys.
And his crotch.
Corey's crotch. And Mark.
Hello.
And we're here to talk about things and stuff and stuff and things. So, been about a month since we recorded because nobody would record last 2 weeks ago. I was sick. And everybody else has problems recording the program, so,
I was willing to do it.
Oh.
There's nothing to talk about anyway. That was the week when I literally would have been just like, I was grinding Project Spark. The end.
Oh my god. Alrighty. So, right now we're gonna jump into what we have been playing. And I just looked at the list. We're gonna start out with a video game masterpiece.
Oh, this is possibly the game of the year.
Right. I mean, there's never been a game that's taken a genre and really
made it its own.
Made it its own. And we're talking.
It's the king of that genre.
That's right. There's going to be none like it. Ben-Hur, ladies and gentlemen.
If you wanted a reason to buy an Xbox One, look no further than exclusive Ben-Hur.
Is it exclusive? I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
And even on top of that, it's free. You just gotta buy the console. What?
Yep.
There has never been a better pack-in game since Super Mario World at this point.
And being from a movie that's exists only to be a visual spectacle, oh boy, does it look great.
I don't know how they put such a magnificent package on a console. I mean,
not as magnificent as Corey's package, of course.
Of course. I mean, they nailed it.
They gave us easy free achievements.
I can't keep this up. This game's terrible.
God damn it, Corey. We had him going.
Almost the worst game I've ever played in my life.
I tried playing this game and I got a few achievements and I gave up because I felt like anytime I touched anything, the horse just fucking died. Like, I would try to turn and barely hit a wall at around, because I got spun out or whatever and just died and had to start the whole fucking race over. It makes no sense. It's illogical. It's boring.
It's horrible, and it is only 3 races long. That's it. That's the entire game.
Did you actually beat it?
I beat it.
Are you proud of yourself?
I got a good amount of achievements. There's some I still haven't gotten around to, but I don't know if I ever will, because it wasn't an enjoyable experience. It was very and the only thing that changes is they add a new rider, or no, they don't add any more riders. It's just a extra lap longer for the second race and an extra lap longer for the third race. Same course. It's just, okay, here you go. It's a little bit longer, so it's easier to take them all out before the race is over, which is the best way to win the races. Or, because I played more of it than you guys, I tested some things out. You don't have to go full speed. They'll just let you catch up. They'll go super slow, so you can just go at a snail's pace, and they'll just, like, wait for you. So you can just go real slow, then charge and ram one, and then go super slow, and then ram them, and then like, oh, my health is low, I'll just go super slow until I can get enough of the health packs, and then just rinse and repeat.
Wow, I didn't.
Sounds great, doesn't it?
This to me feels like someone was making a Flash game and was like, you know what, I'm already invested, let's make it a full-on 360 or Xbox One game. And then they're like, well, we really only have the resources to make a PS2 game, so let's just go there. it's a bad PS2 game at that.
Maybe it'll get one of them limited run discs like that are going around on PS4, you know, because
it'll be a packing with the movie.
Oh god, that would be terrible. Yeah.
I didn't even know the movie was a thing until the game came out either.
I had heard rumblings about it, and for some reason, I get Ben-Hur confused with that biblical movie. I can't think of what it's called now.
Oh, I always think of
Christ Superstar.
No, that is not it. The one with Moses.
The Ten Commandments.
The Last Temptation of Christ.
It doesn't matter. No one cares.
See, I always get Ben-Hur mixed with Ed Gein, the serial killer.
Yeah, I could see how that would happen.
Just because they're same syllables.
But
I always get it confused with Men-Fur.
What?
I took
NyQuil last night, and I don't know if I'm even hosting the show anymore because this shit seems silly. But
that shows you it's a great show.
Anyway, moving on.
It's all downhill from here.
No Man's Sky. No Man's Sky.
I feel like Mark should go first because I think he's gonna have the best things to say about it.
I talked about it on my podcast, which Rob never likes to pimp anywhere. But I really enjoy it for its monotony, and I think part of the reason why I'm not disappointed like some other people is that I never paid close attention to it. So I just saw videos. I wasn't expecting a whole bunch of stuff that wasn't there or whatever. So I got pretty much what I thought it was going to be. And for me, it's just a very calming game that, was beneficial for me in a time where a lot of shit's been going on in my life, and I can just play this and relax and listen to some podcasts and not think too much. And it's not the most beautiful game, but it's pretty enough. And I kind of like the weird, just like garbage monsters that are created. I like these just like they're weird. It's like, oh, here's a horse head with a fish body and chicken legs and a snake tail and like T-Rex arms, whatever. It's ridiculous, but I enjoy that, and it works for me. I know it's not going to work for everyone.
Well, I, for one, was never hyped for this game. I remember when the first trailer for it came out on the Game Awards. I remember, like, the days before, I heard, like, Giant Bombs, I think it was Brad, was saying, oh my god, they showed us something that's going to be shown at the Game Awards, and it's going to be the greatest thing ever. And I kept waiting on this, and everybody on Twitter was a buzz about it. You got to see this. It's going to be amazing. And I was like, okay, this is going to be awesome. And then they showed the trailer for No Man's Sky. And I was like, huh? And then I was like, well, that looks all right. And then somebody said, that was it. I'm like, you guys were hyped about that. It was a fucking spaceship flying into the sky and getting out of a vehicle. And I don't know, man. I just don't get it. And I have been against this game. I'm not gonna say I'm against it.
You've been against it.
I'm just saying I didn't see what the hype was all about before.
I don't think it ever demoed well. I don't think it's a game that does demo well because it's just like you look at the game, it's just like, well, this looks very empty and lonely, which it is. But you know, for some people, that's going to be okay. But it's not. I think part of the reason why it was so hyped in the beginning was because it came from the developers of Joe Danger, a small studio, which is still a small studio. People are like, it's not indie. Sony's backed them a little. That's they're still an indie studio. And I think another people that a thing that people forget, and I remember when it happened, it sounded like it was catastrophic, and then I think they tried to play it off because I don't think they wanted people to think it was as catastrophic as it was.
Oh, the flood.
But when the studio was flooded, we really don't know how bad that was, how much they lost, and they can't just be like, oh well, it's all in our head, we can magically bring it. So like, we'll never know how bad that was unless they ever flat out come out and give us the exact details. I don't think they would.
But I don't know. I just find the game monotonous. I find it boring. I find it frustrating a lot of times because there's the stuff that should be fun in the game is destroyed to me by the tedium of I gotta keep myself alive. And it's like, okay.
I don't think that's a big issue. Every planet I've ever been on, that's never, it's not
but
a
it's,
huge, I don't
exactly,
have to focus on
that's
a,
the,
every minutes.
That's exactly the problem though. It serves no purpose because it's everything for that. It's so abundant. There's no purpose ever in dealing with it. The menu system's god awful. You have to go like two menus deep to fucking heal yourself.
I mean, they're big fans of Destiny.
Yeah, I fucking hate Destiny's UI. It is the goddamn worst.
Well, it is. It's a PC UI on a console. It doesn't work.
And, everything about it is slow. You're in a fucking battle with getting attacked and you're like, I gotta heal my shields. Well, you don't pause the game ever. You just gotta bring up a shield, bring up a menu, bring up the other menu, click on this thing, put all this shit into it, and then fix it. I'm just like, it's boring. It's tedious. Nothing about this game is exciting to me. Seeing stuff's cool, but after you've gone to me, it was like, I kept going to planets and I'm like, yeah, I'm seeing the same type of kind of creatures, a bigger one, a smaller one, some crab-like thing that always is fucking aggressive for any goddamn reason. I don't know. It's all the same cave systems, barely any water, nothing looks special. Every inside of every space station.
I found plenty of water.
Every space station looks exactly the same. Every base on a planet looks exactly the same. Nothing is unique. It's all pre-generated and crap. I mean, you would think even with pre-generation that they could at least make space stations and stuff look different. And the stuff that I did like, I liked the little puzzles and stuff, like the number puzzles and stuff. But even those are recycled all the time.
It's the same puzzle.
And I'm just like, there is nothing special about this game. And
to me, the most special part about it, the thing that I've gotten hooked on that I enjoy the most, is learning the new words and having conversations that become more and more realizing things that I can understand and then better grasp what the alien is saying. That's the most interesting part of the game to me.
And I agree. I did like that part. But at the same time, there were just so many pointless words, too, that you just got that I don't. I mean, it's nice when you start getting like five or six words and you're like, oh, I can piece together what they're saying, but there's so many words that ugh. And the inventory system is so, so annoying. Like, it cost me so much to upgrade my inventory. I'll tell you where the exact point where I gave up on the game is I couldn't find iridium. I could not find it on a planet. I could not find it in the sky. I went to 15 fucking planets looking for iridium. I found it once or twice to buy, and I needed it to upgrade my ship so I could get closer to the center. And when I went to 15 planets and couldn't find it anywhere, I gave up. I didn't give a shit anymore. It was fucking pointless. And that is what my frustration is. People were like, oh, you can make money and just buy a ship, but I don't want to sit there and fucking harvest gold and ores and whatever and go and sell that shit every 5 minutes because that's even tedious. Get in the ship, drive across the country to the nearest space station, settle your ship down, watch that cutscene, get out of the ship, watch that cutscene, walk to the vendor, watch that cutscene. Oh, I got a milestone, watch that cutscene. Ugh, it's just, fucking tedious and stupid, and it's a terrible fucking package. Anyway, what'd you have to say, Corey?
I was cautiously optimistic about this game. I wanted it to be good. I didn't really follow any of the hype or anything, but it's just not for me, man. A lot of the things you're hitting on, I agree with. Now, that being said, I've only put, I would say, 8 to 10 hours into this game, so I haven't put a ton of time. I'm going to wait maybe 6 to 9 months and see what the game becomes then and make a second judgment about it.
When it comes out on Xbox One?
Is it actually coming out on Xbox One?
I would not be surprised at all.
I've heard that they're adding a base building into it, which could be interesting. They've talked about certain updates where they're going to make things easier or harder depending on what needs to be done. So we'll see. I'm not writing it off yet, but I just don't have any interest to go back right now.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what the base building and stuff is, but I mean,
I think they need to add more variety with just like, you know, like the space station designs and stuff like that. Over, like, to me, base building is pointless because what's the likelihood of someone coming to your base? And what's the likelihood of you, like, after you go a few galaxies deep, returning to your base? It's just like, oh, I built this thing, but no one will ever see it. And I won't even remember where I put it.
I don't know. Has it been confirmed that you can actually meet somebody? I know when the game first came out, there was those two people who got to the same planet somehow, but they never saw each other.
I don't think you can.
So there's actually no multiplayer whatsoever.
It might come later on. I mean, there's a whole controversy over the box. I don't know if it's the limited edition box copy where there's a sticker over the rating, and it was originally a different rating and showed multiplayer support. So there are people who are assuming that what they were trying to fix these last few weeks is getting multiplayer to work, and then they couldn't. So they're just like, okay, forget it. Let's take it out. We don't really know for sure, but that sticker does not bode well for that. It makes it seem like that was maybe very well the case.
I didn't see that.
But
yeah. Oh, now Rob's in on video.
Hey, this
trying
how
to turn the pair pressure on.
This is how we do pixelated paranormal and D&D stuff. But anyway, yeah. So I can't really say I'm disappointed. I got exactly what I knew was coming.
I was surprised you played it.
Honestly.
Which one of you bought it?
I bought it.
Yeah.
I mean,
a digital copy? Well, of course it had to be a digital copy.
Yeah. I wanted to try it out, and that way if I actually bought it and played it, I could actually hate on it if it was bad. And so.
Yeah, we all know how much you love to hate things.
Yeah, I do. I hate everything. Never like anything.
There's a couple games on here that we're going to talk about that Rob's really been digging, so.
All right, so let's move.
Like the next one, he really loves this game.
Titanfall 2, we played the demo or the beta or whatever, the tech test. I don't hate the game. I'm just a little annoyed that they've kind of made it feels like the Titans now aren't important. You got to have like a kill streak, or you got to do pretty good in the match to get one. And that kind of defeated the whole purpose of Titanfall. The first one, because it was like, that was a big selling point. No, you don't have to be good at the game to get a Titan. And that excited people. And now it's like, well, you gotta get certain amount of points and kills and stuff to get a Titan. And I'm just like, that ruined the whole experience. That ruins the whole idea of this game. Because people that are good at these games get to do all the fun stuff. That's the problem with Call of Duty. And I know it's the same company that made the original Call of Duties. And I just want them to change that. I honestly see this game getting delayed over this. People are already complaining about the way the maps are built.
I think it's surprising that it's coming out so soon. And I think with like Battlefield 1 and that being really hyped, and this is just kind of like, oh, whatever, this is coming out, I think it would be smart to delay it.
Yeah.
I only played a match and I was like, I think I'd like this more so conceptually than I do actually. And I got into the Titans maybe three times in the match. One time I just randomly spawned into it. I didn't even click to spawn into it. And just like, oh, okay. And I think the tutorial does a terrible job because it did not tell me about the grappling hook. I forgot about it until I accidentally used it, even though I heard people talk about it on other podcasts. Right. And I think the grappling hook feels like shit because you just kind of like, you shoot it somewhere and then it kind of just drags you on the ground until you reach that point and then it'll raise you up. I'm like, this is weird. It doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
I played the pilot versus pilot mode, which that just feels like Call of Duty. I mean, I actually enjoyed it more than I think I enjoyed the Titan mode because of how difficult it was to get the Titans. Like, I think I only actually used one Titan out of the handful of matches that I played. So I don't know that that's a good sign that the Call of Duty mode is a better mode than the actual intended mode. Mm-hmm. So I would like to see what exactly is going to be in the full game before we do this. Cause I have heard that they're going to make Titans easier to obtain. So you don't have to quite do as good as well. So I don't know. I love the first one. So I'm hoping I like this one a lot too.
Right.
And I think, I don't know about the rest of you, but like for me, I'm way more interested to see what the single player is like.
Yeah.
That they're actually doing a single player.
I'm excited about the single player for Titanfall. I really am. I think that game, the first game, needed a single player. And apparently it's going to be an 8 to 10 hour campaign. The videos I've seen for it have been looked interesting to me. I'm just excited for that. I think that'll be a lot of fun. But hopefully they fix this. And apparently they took everybody's complaints about the no Titans to heart. So I think they need to go and rework that. And I don't know about the maps and stuff like that, because I know people were complaining about the maps and they didn't feel as good as the previous game's maps. And I don't know. To me, I didn't pay that much attention how sprawling it is. But you gotta remember, Titanfall 1 used the cloud Xbox One, whatever they call it, so that to help stream part of that game too. So maybe that's why the maps don't look and work as well, is because they don't have like, that extra computing power. I don't know. You know, I'm just that was them talking out of their ass about stuff like that too. You know, I don't know how good any of that actually is. But
I feel like no matter what game sequel comes out, like Halo and Call of Duty, whenever the sequel came out, like Halo 2 or Call of Duty, I guess it would have been Modern Warfare 2 or whatever the next one after that was, we always see complaints about the map design. They're like, oh, Halo 1's map designs were so much better than Halo 2 and all that stuff. So, and then, you know, going back to it now, I don't mind, you know, Halo 2 maps are great. I remember some of those. Those are fantastic. And Call of Duty, whatever. I mean, they all have their place in time. So I'm sure once this actually comes out and everybody get used to the map, we'll be fine. Nobody will be complaining.
I'm going to step away just for a bit. Corey, do you want to talk a little bit about Hitman?
I can talk about Hitman.
Yeah, you and Mark talk a little bit about Hitman. I'll be right back.
Mark, have you played Hitman?
Yeah.
Any of the episodes? Man, we
played all of them.
We picked that up sometime in the last month. And I went through the tutorial missions, which were awesome. The tutorial missions are like these cardboard cutout remodels of like actual events that happened in history, I guess. And so you have to recreate the hitman job in those little shack looking things. They're all like plywood and stuff. And you play as obviously Agent 47. But the thing that's got this game going better than a lot of the last Hitmans I've played is there's actually a just large number of ways to tackle any mission. And it gives you challenges as well to try and do all different, assassination types, yeah. I guess. So in the first mission, you're on a boat, or kind of on a boat, you're on a cardboard boat, and you have to like just poison him, or you can do the old classic grot, however you say the little zip line thing that you choke people with.
Yeah, that thing.
And then there's another one where you can like push down a raft and just knock them out with a raft. It's really cool. I think me and Rob might be at the same place. We're actually on the first real mission now. How far are you into it, Rob?
I got to the first main mission of the game.
Okay. Yeah. So I've done it a couple times, tried to do it a couple times, and I can kill the first person because you have to kill two different people. I can kill the first person without getting detected, but I can't get to the second person at all. And it's a lot more difficult.
Which one have you killed and which one haven't you?
The dude walking around, it's like a fashion show. There's a runway.
Right, I've played it. I mean, is it the second, you can't kill the man or the woman?
The man's walking around. I've been able to kill him without being detected.
I've been able to get to the area to kill the woman, so.
Yeah, I can't do it. I've only tried it a couple times, but.
It's been a while. I think I kill the woman by impersonating someone and then get into a secret meeting and then taking her out in that room.
Yep. That's exactly how. Just
how creative each of the levels are, though, so far is pretty impressive.
Right. And how big they are and how much. It's just what's really nice about it, because it really does feel a lot like Blood Money, just on a bigger scale. But it's nice how much variety there is. And you can turn off the, I guess, I don't know if the, like suggestions or tutorials if you want to just freestyle it completely, but it does a really good job of being like, oh, you overheard this conversation. Mm-hmm. You can follow this path and it'll keep giving you waypoints so you can learn stuff. And then maybe if you do a few of those and feel more comfortable with the level, because those will also help you learn the layout, then you can just do it without any instructions at all. The weirdness around this was just because it was supposed to come out as a full release, and then it had this whole weird episodic thing. And I think that turned off a lot of people, but I think the episodic release is actually really great because it then allows you to, instead of feeling like you need to progress and move on to the next level, it was like, okay, you're going to have this area for a while. Now you get all these challenges to keep replaying it. And as you replay them and finish challenges, you earn experience, which then unlocks new things and ways for you to start a level and stuff like that. That it really kind of, it makes playing a level, it promotes playing a level more than once than just moving on and going to the next level, then the next level, and then the next level.
So since we're like halfway through the season right now, right? Where
we're
do the actual
4 out of 6?
Yeah.
Okay. So is each level a episode then? Is that how it broke down? Or
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So I can
and
see how
they
you
they have secret like extra levels too. Occasionally, I don't know if they all have them, but there's one later on that I mentioned in a previous show where it takes place all during day, the regular story, but then at night it becomes this movie set and it's completely different. It's a bit more closed off, but it's very, very different than the regular setup is.
Is that the one with Gary Busey? Because wasn't he in like an episode?
That's the level that he was on, but not, that wasn't part of that area. That was just one of those week-long, I forget what they're called, but those special missions that you can only play once, which I hope at some point they re-release those, because it kind of sucks that, oh, if you didn't get to kill Gary Busey for that 1 week, you never get to kill him again. And it even sucks in that I think it's a good idea for high score chasing and all that stuff to only allow your first playthrough to be the one that's counted, and you can't quit and come back, but you should be able to replay just for fun, but you can't even do that, which is kind of annoying.
Yeah, I haven't done any of those yet, so I haven't seen any of those pop up.
Yeah, the new one comes up in like 24 hours or something, so tomorrow it should be. I turned on the game not that long ago, so that one's coming up soon.
Huh. All right.
So my thing about Hitman, though, is if more games follow this, I guess, episode idea and do it as well as Hitman does, I think it could really take off. Like, I know that Telltale's been doing the episodic games forever, but they're not really the same scale that this has going on.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of like a 2-hour segment, maybe, and that's all you get. So I would like to see more games try this. Hopefully they do it well, like this one has.
What I'm happy about is that they've hinted at that there will be, like, this is the 6 episodes is one season, and that will, I guess, probably be 2 more seasons.
Oh, wow.
At the very least, which I think is awesome, because I love this setup, and I'm happy that this is just going to be kind of the home for the episodes, instead of like, okay, we're going to release a whole new game. Like, just have it be this, you know, little home for all things Hitman.
Well, they could do the thing where, like, you have to buy season 2 and it'll be a different package.
And it could just be like, you can still buy episodes individually, or you can get season 2 for a slight discount, which I will immediately do.
That's pretty it's pretty rare for you to buy a game like that. So it must be really
good. I bought it because of the little statue, which I can actually go get because I'm on video, which is very large. It's a large statue.
Didn't it also come with a tie?
It came with a tie, so I can wear the red tie, though I already had a red tie, so it was worthless.
Oh, gosh.
It came with a pretty nice art book, too. That's like 8x10 or something, not the usual 5x7.
Interesting. So that's Hitman, and I'm enjoying, I wouldn't say I'm enjoying it as well, although I get frustrated and discouraged when I'm having an issue with the game where I can't figure out what I'm supposed to do, but I do like what Mark said, like how it does like kind of walk you through where you're going. But I'll go back to it. Right now, though, I've been playing a lot of Deus Ex, which is pretty awesome. Deus Ex Mankind Divided. And I know, Mark, you have not played it, right, Mark?
No.
Okay.
Because No Man's Sky. Like, I bought No Man's Sky. So instead of buying Deus Ex, that's what happened.
Yeah, you made a mistake. But
no, I didn't.
I'm really enjoying it. And I wasn't the world's biggest fan of the first one. I don't know. And I don't know what it is about this one, because everybody seems to think it plays exactly the same as the last one. But for some reason, I just enjoy it more. So, I mean, it's a really cool game, and I'm enjoying it. I'm basically still have not even got into the main real mission of the game yet, because I just did like the prologue, and then I've been doing like the side quest in Prague. So, I have not moved on to the real objectives of the game yet, and I think Corey has been basically the same.
Yeah, I think I'm a one story mission further than you, which really is still kind of the prologue. It's got a big open world, and there's so much stuff to do in that open world right off the bat. You were saying last night when we were playing online that, like, you feel like a scumbag because you're just breaking into everybody's house and taking all their stuff. And I did exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
So,
and people already got upset because there's a store in game where you can buy with real money. You can buy the Praxis points to level your character up, and people always seem offended by this. But I mean, you don't have to do it. You level up in the game. You get these skills and such. So I don't know why people get upset.
People just want to find a reason to hate.
Yeah, I really.
It's like, oh, this. They look at this game and feel like it shouldn't have anything at all. But like, you know, you look at all the sports games, they have these things that, like, you don't need to spend. Like for the NBA 2K series, they have virtual currency, which you can earn in various ways, but you can also buy it. You don't have to buy it, but you can. It's just like, oh, if you want to not work as much and you have money to waste, then you could do it, but you don't have to, so shut up.
Right. And go ahead, Corey.
My concern with it is, like, I'm relatively early into the game, and I feel like I've got a ton of Praxis points already, but what happens when I get to the end and I'm like, man, I really wish I had this and this and that, but I've pretty much maxed out my character that it'll let me get. And I don't know if that's possible. I don't know if you have plenty of things to do to where you can completely max out your character or not, because there's, like, I'm playing a completely non-lethal playthrough, and I'm just focusing on that stuff, so I'm not using any of the aggressive augmentations that actually, like, kill people. So I don't know if I would be able to get everything.
From what I've heard.
Me personally, I won't use the aggressive ones because there's no reason for me to. I don't want to kill people. I'm trying to get that playthrough done. But if you had somebody who wanted to get all the sneaky stuff, as well as, you know, the blades that shoot out of your arm and whatnot.
Hopefully this game, they don't have the same problem as the last game, because I remember people saying they were trying to go through a non-lethal playthrough, and then they didn't get it, because somehow or another, they shocked somebody, and they fell into a water and drowned, and stuff like that. So I'm hoping that that's not... I hope they don't have an issue like that with this one. I haven't seen a lot of places where there's people near water or anything like that. Honestly, I'm trying to do non-lethal, but a lot of times with games like this, at some point I kill somebody. Cause I get frustrated or whatever, but so far I don't think I have killed anybody. And I don't know if there's any menu that tells you if you've killed anybody yet or not either. I'm sure there might be. That would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, I haven't looked for like statistic menu or anything like that. Oh, one thing that this game does really awesome. It's been what, 4 or 5 years since the game came out. So I played through the first one, or the Human Revolution. Is that right?
Yes.
And I had forgotten almost everything, but there's a tab when you start the game up. It's like, do you want to watch this 12-minute cutscene that explains exactly what happened in the last one? And it does. It takes like a bunch of the cutscenes and does like has the same art style and everything, and it tells you beat for beat what happened in the first game. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't played it, you won't feel lost at all if you forgot like I did.
Yeah, at first I was like, oh great, it's 12 minutes long. This is going to take forever. But it was actually a pretty good video to watch, because I didn't finish the first game, and I'm definitely glad I watched it, because I wouldn't have had any clue what's happened in the first game, because I only got like halfway through that game, or not even probably halfway. I think I said maybe a third. And there is actually an inventory system at your house in this one, so that was a big complaint of the first game, that I would collect all this stuff, like weapons, and I would go to my office and just dump it all on the floor because I didn't have any place to put it. There was no chest or loot system in that game. You just dump shit. So that's kind of nice. And you can sell guns and stuff, too. I don't remember if that was a thing in the first one as well. But and it was cool when me and Corey were playing it because we will discuss how we were doing things. And sometimes we were doing things totally different. Like, I'm busting the shit out of walls. And Corey would be like, you know, just walking in and sneaking around, and I'm busting down walls with my structural weaknesses and shit. So, although I can't figure out, like, Corey says that he doesn't know if there's a thing that gets rid of electricity where you can't get shocked. And he seems to think there was one in the first game, and he couldn't find anything in the second game that protected you from being electrically shocked. So I don't know. But anyway, it's a good game. Moving on.
I wish they would remaster the first two games.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool. I've never played them, so.
Yeah, I haven't either. I've always wanted to see how they compare to newer ones.
I honestly think I bought them both on Steam, but I don't like playing PC games, and
visually, it's not going to hold up at
all. Right, well, of course
even
not.
Even if you get like a mod, it's still not going to. And I think the second one, Invisible War, had issues running on like later PCs that could have been patched or there could be workarounds, but I remember having issues with that a while ago. But
gotcha. All right.
I mean, the first game is one of my favorite games of all time.
Gotcha. All right, moving on. What have you been playing, Corey?
The only other thing that came out that I've been playing a lot of was that new free to play poker game that came out a few weeks ago, Prominence Poker. Right,
it's very busy. I play like the tutorial, and I was like, "Oh my god, there's so many menus. There's so much going on. I don't have time to deal with this." And then I never got back to it.
It's actually not. It's really simple. I actually play it when I'm like kind of half paying attention to it. So I'll be doing something in the back, like working on projects or whatever, and I have that in the background, and the controller will buzz, and I'm like, "Okay, I need to do something." I like it, man. It's poker. It's. Oh, I don't even know the last poker game that I played that I actually felt like wasn't shoehorned in and felt crappy. This for a free-to-play game, I feel like it's very well put together. And
especially coming out at the same time as Ben-Hur. It's like, yeah. Ben-Hur, a prominent poker. Ding, 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 we have a winner.
I will say every once in a while I get into a room where people don't care. Like, they just go all in right off the bat. And that's annoying because I was like, I want to actually have some strategy to play poker.
Those aren't people. Those are Sean.
Well, okay, yes. Sean and me played, and he would just go all in every hand.
I'd kill Sean.
Yeah. I was like, man, are you seriously playing poker? He's like, yeah, I'm seriously playing poker by
suicide
going all in.
Suicide is not the answer, Mark. You cannot kill yourself.
Oh, my dogs are bombarding.
You shut the hell up, Rob. I'm going to kill Sean just to prove that I'm not him.
So, Corey, I don't know, Corey just left. He was talking about...
He went to go mess with his dogs.
Okay.
Sorry, my door must have been half open because the dogs just... So anyways, yeah, it's a really good game. If you want to actually sit down and seriously play poker, like, I've had some sessions where I was like, oh, it's been 3 hours and I'm still playing poker. So, it's pretty solid.
Yeah, you should be playing South Park instead of that fucking poker game. Just say
I need to finish that before the new one comes out. Yeah. There's just two games keep coming out.
Is that game backwards compatible now?
Which one? The South Park?
South Park?
Yeah, it is. I bought it. If you buy Fractured Butthole pre-order, you get the new remastered version for free. So, and you don't even have to pay for it right now anymore.
Is the remastered version a whole set of new achievements? Is it like an actual? So it's okay.
Well, I mean, it's not using the Xbox 360 achievements. I mean, it may be the same.
I just mean the whole. It's like not just the 360 version. When whatever Rainbow Six Siege or whatever came out, they just gave you codes for the 360 versions of the previous games. They didn't remaster them or anything.
Right. No, this is the full. Yeah. This is the Xbox One version of the game. So yeah,
it's brand. Brand new 1,000 achievement points if you want it.
Yeah. So, and it's pretty cool.
I need to finish that game.
Oh, gosh. That game is so great. I cannot wait for the sequel. I hope it's as good. But they nailed the first one, so. Alright.
Did you see that, on a kind of related note, I don't remember exactly what it's called, Noculus Rift or something like that, that's coming out for it?
Oh, well, the fart thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I watched the video of somebody using it and they're like, oh god.
I hope they sell that in stores.
They're not.
No. They made like a handful of copies just so they can, you know, it's good because journalists need to smell shit sometimes.
Well, they've been eating a lot of shit because they've been playing No Man's Sky, and a lot of them that were so hyped for this game have given it shitty reviews, and I love it. So, anyway. Mark, what have you been playing?
Not good stuff.
It looks like you've been playing with your exes.
Well, I only have two, so it'd work out. Strike Vector EX and Solar Shifter EX, which one is which? Strike Vector EX is the PS4 one. That's like, you're a mech and you have your standard like hover mode and your flight mode, and you just go around in these small arenas with not a lot of variety. I've played maybe 8 levels and I think I've experienced 2 different levels. They just kind of reuse the same area. The first one's like this construction yard in the sky, and then another one I think is maybe just a construction yard in like a fiery lava place. But it controls terribly, and it just kind of gets to a point where you're in a level, enemies come at you, and then you kill them. Then they come at you, and you kill them. And then eventually there'll be like a boss battle or something, and that's it. And then there are these side areas at every like 4 levels where they have 5 different missions that are basically like, for the most part, they seem to be racing missions, which isn't fun. But it's just really boring. It's pretty, but it's not that interesting, and it's very repetitive, and it wasn't super exciting. But it is way better than Solar Shifter EX, which I got a code for on the Xbox One, and that's a shmup, but it's like the worst shmup I've maybe ever played. It looks nice, but it's not. It's really just about finding the spot on the map where the bullets won't be able to kill you, then you just sit there and hold the fire button, and that's it. And it's like super, it's challenging in a cheap way, where you can easily just get destroyed, and then, oh, you start at the next checkpoint, and it's a long load to restart to the checkpoint. It's like 10 or 15 seconds, which is too long when the levels last like a few minutes, and you can die very, very easily. You can just get overwhelmed because it just, there's like a weird thing with hit. It just, it's so, just feels like it's thrown together, and it's just, it's not fun at all. I've only played like 3 levels, but I already hate it, and I don't really feel like playing anymore. The only interesting thing about it is that you have this warp ability, which allows you to jump forward, backwards, and left and right. But other than that, you just have your main weapon and then a sub weapon. You don't get any power ups during the levels. You just have these things. So it's like you have your main machine gun, which is just one bullet that shoots forward. Then you have your secondary weapon, which are 2 missiles that shoot forward. And that's it.
Wow.
You can collect credits. Occasionally, the bigger enemies will drop health. But if you get shot, you're not going to get health from any other enemies or anything. So whatever. And the enemies are just like, here are 3 different type of ships. Have fun.
All right, that sounds bitterly disappointing.
Super disappointing, because I love shmups, and I was hoping that, because I saw the videos, and I was like, oh, this looks like it could be nice. It looks pretty, at least. And then I played it, and I'm like, ah, blah.
All right, well, moving on to movies. So I don't know who put Suicide Squad here.
I put it on because I'm pretty sure Corey saw it because his...
I seen it.
Better half. Oh, you did? Okay.
Okay. Yeah, me and... That was the last thing me and Bobby ever did. So that's over. But, yeah, I enjoyed it, actually.
I don't know that I'd say... Well, I did enjoy it, I guess. It was not nearly as bad as everybody says it was. Now, it's still not a great movie.
No.
Did you guys see Batman v Superman?
No.
I saw that.
I keep hearing so many bad things about that, I don't care about seeing it.
So. Peekaboo!
Do what?
Okay, we can't use cameras anymore.
I was playing peekaboo.
Okay. I don't know what I missed.
You didn't miss anything.
It's not worth anything. Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
That was about as much fun as I had. Suicide Squad was a peekaboo game right there. it was weird because they had. Okay, so Amanda turns to me. Can we spoiler this movie? Like, is it that big a deal if we spoil it?
No one's gonna care anymore.
Okay, so Amanda turned to me like halfway through the movie, and there's this Indian Native American actor who's in a lot of stuff, and he's in it for. And he comes in, he plays this dude. I don't even remember his name. And,
Is it the rope guy?
Yeah, yeah. So man turns to me like, look, it's him. Man, he's not actually playing like an iconic or traditional Indian Native American role. He's like actually going to be this badass character. Gets killed off instantly. And man is just like, this movie sucks now. Because she was all like, yeah, finally they have like a Native American person portrayed in a good role. And then he just dies instantly. So that sucked. And then the other thing that really bothered me is, Amanda Waller's character. Mm-hmm. Like she played, what's the actress's name? I can't think of her.
Is it Viola Davis? Is that?
Yeah, yeah. She always plays a hard ass and everything she plays. And I thought she did a good job in it. But everything I know about Amanda Waller is that she does everything for the good of a mission or the good of the country. She doesn't necessarily, do bad things unless it's absolutely necessary. And there's a scene where they rescue her. And she just kills three people out of nowhere. And it seemed so out of character from what I know about her. And it just soured my taste on that.
Hmm.
Other than that, I thought the movie was pretty solid.
I liked the Joker was terrible.
I think the Joker is really weird in that the trailers played it out like he was the main villain and he's then barely in it.
Yeah, well, and not only that, he doesn't even really fit the Joker's personality because at one point he's in love with Harley Quinn, and that's like, that is definitely not the Joker. The Joker uses Harley Quinn and abuses Harley Quinn. He is not in love with Harley Quinn.
Joker and Harley, the relationship all young girls want to have for some weird reason.
Yeah. He does not love her. He uses her as his own personal tool. And this movie very much did not portray that. I mean, he uses her, but then he at one point he's like, I got to get her out of this because I love her. And I'm like, oh, God, please stop. And that stuff is terrible. But honestly, Margot Robbie did a fantastic job as Harley Quinn. Although that outfit was ridiculous, and that was just to look at her nearly nude the entire movie.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I minded, but... I could definitely see people being upset about that because it was crazy. So
apparently she hated being in it because she was, you know, it was raining half the movie and she was just wet and cold the entire time she filmed the movie. So she like said it was one of the most miserable experiences she's had.
Yeah.
I can completely understand.
I remember people got upset when they changed her outfit for the Arkham Asylum games. And people were like, why is she not in her other outfit? This is too sexy. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, I can't believe there's not been this huge backlash about this outfit. And I really didn't hear much about it, but.
It's a outfit created for easy cosplay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, guess what? Yesterday I went to a comic convention to see Will, and there were a lot of underage girls dressed like that. So I was like, oh God. I said something to Will about it. I was like, wow, apparently Suicide Squad made it appropriate for underage girls to wear basically nothing to beat Harley Quinn. And Will's like, yep. He's like, it's crazy. So, and he sees that stuff a lot there because he goes to a lot of those conventions. So,
catch a predator.
To catch. Have a seat over there. All right. So.
And just be like, it's just a big joke. I'm just a joker. No, I wasn't trying to do anything.
All right. The Little Prince. Who watched that? Because it wasn't me.
I watched that. I've never seen The Little Prince I never read The Little Prince. It's based off a book, apparently.
But isn't that what you call your package?
Oh, man.
A little is not anything in there, but okay.
Yeah, he can't even keep saying that with a straight face.
He's completely derailed me.
Little Prince animated movie.
Little Prince animated movie. It's a cute little movie, guys. If you have an hour and a half or so, I would highly recommend watching it. It made Amanda go out and buy the book, so now I'm going to read the book. It's kind of
surprised Amanda hasn't read the book already.
She may have, but she went and bought it.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Yeah. So it's. I guess it's a story about coping with death is possibly the easiest way to say it. But it's a good animation style. Everything about it's really good. The acting in it's really good. There's some pretty big actors in it. Now I'm blanking on all of them.
Jeff Bridges. I don't know. There are a lot of, like, I don't know. There's a big list. To me, it was something I saw the trailer for a year ago, and I was like, oh, this looks like it could be good. And then I heard nothing of it. And then I was like, Netflix acquires a Little Prince. And I was like, what?
Yeah,
so I think it's not like a cheap thing. It's a decently done anime movie. I haven't watched it yet, but just based on what I've heard and seen.
It was all around charming, and I like good art style and happy messages, I guess. So it was right up my alley.
Now, is it
they haven't
actually
done a lot to promote it.
Is it actually animated or is it claymated animation? I don't know. I keep thinking.
So it's got like that Pixar animation going on, but then when there's like a story inside the movie, when that's happening, it's like this paper craft type thing.
Okay, I'd seen that. That's what I was thinking about.
Both of them are very good. So
I think it's directed by or from this studio as well, people related to Kung Fu Panda.
I could see that.
All right. Well, maybe I'll watch that. Probably not, though. So, anyway, moving on to television. Over the Garden Wall. I believe this was Corey that brought this up on the...
I don't know what the hell this is.
Yeah.
This is something I was feeling like crap yesterday. I had a really bad headache, and I was like, I'm going to put on a dumb cartoon and fall asleep to it, and I ended up watching the entire series. It's a 10-episode little... It almost feels like a one-off movie cut into... like short segments. It's 10 episodes. Each of the episodes are 10 minutes long. I didn't know anything about it. I started watching it and I started researching it. It's got a lot of critical acclaim is the word I was looking for.
That is a word.
And it's got some pretty decent actors in it. It's got Christopher Lloyd and Elijah Wood. A couple other people I had to look up because I recognized their voice and I recognize them from things they've been in. But it's, again, another one of those shows that just kind of they fall over a wall at some point in the series, and then they're in this magical place, and they're trying to get home. That's essentially the story. But it's got, like, the goofy cartoon style that's going on right now. Like, you just kind of have to accept the universe as it is. Mm-hmm. But it falls in a kind of similar lines with The Little Prince. It's just one of those things that's like a, kind of a good story, and it's just kind of happy overall.
Where did you watch it?
It was on Hulu is where I watched it on. It might be on other things. It's made by the guy who did, I don't even remember, like Flapjack Adventures or whatever. It was a Cartoon Network show, and I did not like that show at all, but I put this on not realizing that it was made by the same people. And I just love it. Like, I want there to be another series of it, but the way it ended, I don't think there could be. I might be wrong.
The Marvelous Misadventures of Flapjack.
Yeah, that's the one.
And he did some work on Adventure Time.
Ugh.
The irreverent humor kind of makes sense with the Adventure Time stuff. So
he is the director of the to-be-announced Costume Quest internet series. If that thing was ever going to come out, did not know that was a thing.
Costume Quest.
The game, like the video game where you dress up like Halloween and try to save
your sister? I'm guessing that there's some plan to do a TV-like thing.
All right. You learned something.
Yeah, but I mean, that entire series is only going to eat up an hour and maybe an hour and a half, because you got to hit play on each episode, and that takes a bit.
Wow. Okay. I've been watching a series on Netflix, which is not a Netflix exclusive, by the way. It's an AMC TV show.
But it's all done. The series says finished, and I think you have... Yeah, and I think everything's on Netflix except for the second half of the last season, as far as I know. Or maybe it's all on there now, so you might be able to watch it all.
It may be on there all... It must all be there, because there's 50 episodes, and there's 10 episodes a season. Unless they have an extra long season.
I think... Then it might be... I don't know, I'll check. Because I think the last season was like 16 episodes broken up into 8 episodes.
Okay. Well, that would... Okay, well, anyway, the show is called Hell on Wheels, and it's a Western about them building a railroad to the Pacific Ocean. And I'm not a huge Westerns fan, but I fucking have loved this show, what I have watched of it. It is fantastic.
What about it puts it over where other Westerns have failed for you?
I mean, I think it's, to me, I think it feels like it feels modern in a way, but at the same time, they take a lot of, they make it feel like it's set in that universe. I mean, they dropped the N bomb so much.
Did you ever try Deadwood?
No, I can't say that's not fair for me to say that this is the best. I just never watched Deadwood, and I hear that's great as well.
It's
Deadwood
and,
is serious.
And I have HBO Go, so I should probably go back and watch that after I finish Hell on Wheels.
Yeah, that's super short too. Two full seasons, one.
But
short.
I just really enjoy the show, and I think the characters are really good, and the acting is really well as well. I mean, I just love it. I mean, it's a fantastic show. And like, there are shocking moments that I couldn't believe that happened when I'm watching it. I'm like, holy shit. So.
Did they use the word cocksucker?
No, I mean, it's.
Well, that Deadwood wins.
Yep. Deadwood uses that like 80 times per episode.
There's one of the greatest scenes. Where they're basically describing a person.
Hold on a second. Okay, as I was gonna say, you're gonna fucking spoil something. I said I'm just gonna watch in a bit.
Yeah. I'm just saying, there's a great scene with a lot of cocksucker use.
So I'm like halfway. I'm over halfway through the series now. Mom watched it all in like 2 days. Mom's a fucking Netflix fiend.
Yeah, and it's all up through the first half of the last season, because there were 13 episodes in the fourth season. And then the fifth episode is broken up into 2 7-part chunks, so that's your 50.
So they usually bring out the rest of the season, like...
I don't know. I mean, it could come out sooner because it's all finished now.
Right. I don't know when the show even came on. I mean, I remember seeing commercials for it, so I think it was something that came on after Walking Dead went off. So
yeah, I'm not sure. It's something I've always been meaning to watch, and I still haven't.
Yeah, I was kind of... There's somebody watched the show and liked it, and I can't figure out anybody who's watched it now. Because I've asked everybody I know. I thought it was Steven that had watched it. Nope. It wasn't Sean. It wasn't Corey. And I thought, well, maybe it has to be Mark. Because Mark loves Westerns. Nope.
Been talking to my dad behind my back.
Did he watch it?
He's watched it all. Oh, yeah, he? He's a huge Western fan. But, so am I, which is weird that I haven't watched it.
Yeah, I mean, this is a show for some reason that always had my attention when it was on, when I first seen the commercials for it. And I'm like, I don't even watch Westerns, but that looks interesting. And maybe I thought it looked interesting, and I was like telling myself that, hey, you should watch that because you're sick and you don't feel well. And Corey just made everything pink.
Oh, did I highlight it when I closed out?
Yeah, you highlighted every goddamn thing on here, you pink bastard.
I didn't do that. I just closed out the... browser.
Okay, but
you know what's nice about not having Rich here? He screws up the format, and every time he's like, "Oh, I'm just going to write in giant letters, and there's going to be extra spaces, and press enter 1,000 times." What is he doing? Like, how does he not know? Just like put the cursor at the bullet point, type your first game, then press enter. Type. That's all you have to do. What are you doing that you screw that up so horribly?
Why are you so particular?
Because it's just annoying. It's so frustrating. I like things to be organized and clean. And Rich just screws it up.
Anyway, That's all I got. Anybody got anything else?
I won't be here next show because I'm going to be out of town.
Oh, yes.
Thought about trying to figure out some way to do it from California, but I don't think I can make it happen. I think the floor and everything will be way too loud.
Wait a sec. You're still going to be in, you're still going to be there in that weekend? Because I thought you were going to be there.
I'm going to be there from Sunday to Thursday.
Yeah, I know, but that, oh yeah, that's right. We do D&D that next Thursday, next Wednesday. That's right.
Duh. But hopefully have a bunch of cool stuff to talk about.
Yeah. All right. So let's get everybody's plugs in. Corey, what do you want to plug?
I did that backwards.
Mark, what do you want to plug?
I don't. Corey can go first. It doesn't fucking matter.
It does matter. It matters to me. You matter to me, Mark.
I didn't want to plug anything anyways.
That's the funniest thing you've ever said.
Go ahead, whoever you are.
Corey.
I'm Wolfna on pretty much everything. Twitter, Facebook. Actually, I'm... Xbox, PlayStation, all that stuff. Are you going to talk about the D&D thing, or can I?
You can talk about it if you want to. Go ahead.
D&D. I recently got addicted to D&D. Two Wednesdays ago, we did our first episode of, I don't even know what we're calling it, just D&D Adventures with Pixelated Radio.
Which doesn't make any sense, because I'm not on it, and Rich isn't on it. And then it's like... You have two members of Pixelated Paranormal, and then two of Pixelated Radio.
Well, I think it's Pixelated Sausage. I mean, it's the whole network, you know.
Just like Pixelated D&D or whatever.
I was going to call it Pixelated Pen and Paper, but that seems too long.
PPNP.
And we don't use pen or paper, so... But that's neither here nor there, Corey. Continue.
Okay, so Wednesday night, our time, we're going to have it at 10 o'clock. We're going to start... Well,
that is Central Time.
Yeah, around 10 o'clock, because I think we actually started recording like 15 minutes early last time, except it was just us getting ready.
Yeah.
And then we'll go till approximately midnight. We went till 1 o'clock last time. So
I was shocked. Everybody was so fucking into it that they didn't want to stop.
Yep.
They're so in the fucking fireplaces.
It's all archived on YouTube, right?
Yep.
Through Henderson Man's YouTube page, so you can watch our last show. And hopefully, if you want to tune in to our new show this upcoming Wednesday, we would love to see you there.
Yeah, I'm running the 5th edition Curse of Strahd. So if you're running that game and you're getting ready to start it or whatever, you may not want to watch the show because you shouldn't really spoil things for your game master, because this is just like video games. Once the story's ruined, you're not going to enjoy playing it, I don't think, as much. There's a lot of stuff that's going to go on in this game. But I am totally excited about it. And what I'm really impressed with is we all actually did a good job. I feel like everybody was funny and entertaining when we were doing it. And I felt like it worked really well. We barely had any hiccups with the program. Now, occasionally, your map wouldn't open or something, Corey, and we'd have to tell you what to click on or whatever. But
I think that was Preston.
Was it
I think mine was working fine. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
My problem was I need to drink a cup of coffee or something before I start it, because I was just I get up super early on Wednesdays.
Mm-hmm.
So I just need to do something to get myself energized so I talk a lot more.
Yeah, so you guys need to come and watch that, and you can watch it archived on YouTube. I know Mark showed up at some point. I don't know how much of it he watched, but
I saw probably like 2 hours because I was like could not sleep at all, so I got up really, really early, and then I was just like, okay, I'll watch this. And then I think I like left a few minutes before you guys finished or something. I don't know, because then I got kind of tired again, just laid in bed and were listening to you. And then I don't know what happened first, if I fell asleep or you ended first.
Yeah.
It was fun, though.
Yeah.
I enjoyed watching it. It reminded me of how much I want to play.
Yeah, I'm trying to get something started with you and Rich so we can do that.
Yeah, he said Wednesday, but then there was no time, so I was like, okay.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's the problem about finding a time.
But that also seems weird to do it on Wednesday if it's going to be the same Wednesday that you do this. It's like, do you want to do that much D&D one day?
I do 5 hours on the Sunday. If I do 2 hours with you and 3 hours with them, that's the same as me doing it on a Sunday. So, I mean, and that's all subjective. I mean, if I meet somebody, I probably will have to give up the early stuff if I'm hanging out with somebody. But, you know, you never know. But, I mean, I don't honestly look for us to play D&D very often with Rich and you. So, not that I don't want to play D&D with you guys. I'm just saying that I could see that one not lasting as long and maybe just be like, oh, here's a 2 or 4 hour adventure we would do every once in a while. So,
What is the percentage that we got through of the campaign?
Of the campaign? You guys haven't even honestly started the campaign. You guys are
busy with fucking fireplaces. this fireplace. This is just
Joe wants to join in so bad. He texted me. He's like, we need to start our own thing. And I'm like, okay. Whenever we're finished this one, maybe we can add you in.
Yeah. He's already played Curse of Strahd, so that's the reason why I don't want him. I mean, he's ran Curse of Strahd, so he knows everything, and that's the only reason why I don't want him involved in this. And plus, he was cheating for you. That annoyed the shit out of me.
He was not cheating with me.
He told you to cast Magic Missile on that armor.
That was the only thing he did to help me out.
John Rambo Bob Saget.
Master Chief, man.
It's fun, and I picked up I have to say Fantasy Grounds is a fantastic program for running D&D. It has cost me a fortune at this point, but I have bought everything that is D&D 5th edition on that program now. Getting the ultimate license for that program alone was $150. And I've paid.
Is that what you guys were using?
Yeah. Basically how it works is somebody has to have a license to, an ultimate license to run the game so everybody else can do it for free, or everybody's got to have the $40 program. It's $40 for the entirety of the program. And how that works is if somebody has an ultimate license, nobody else has to have anything. It can be, they just got to have the demo version. And you can get the ultimate license for $10 a month as well if $150 is expensive right off the gate. And I had it for a year paying $100 or $10 a month because I kept thinking this is going to happen at some point and I want to be ready. And I just bit the bullet and said, I'm going to go ahead and buy it. And that way I don't have to ever worry about paying $10 a month for it.
Is the difference between like that and Roll 20 is that it already incorporates all this stuff from D&D and everything?
Yeah, Roll 20 is apparently going to start doing it as well, but it works so good on Fantasy Grounds. And I tried to, when we were having trouble getting Fantasy Grounds working because, the Mac program version, on Mac is not built for Mac. You have to have wrappers and stuff to use it. And I was worried that wasn't going to work. So I said, fuck it, we'll just do it on Roll 20. And I went to Roll 20 and just tried to make up a character, and it was so fucking complicated. And I was like, I don't even want to do this on Roll 20. If it doesn't work on Fantasy Grounds, I just won't do it at all. And the best thing about Fantasy Grounds as well, for me paying the ultimate license all up front, is I can take it with me and don't have to be connected to the internet to play. So like, I basically now use it to run my game on Sundays. And I have another TV hooked up as a second monitor. So the players are all seeing what they would see with the Fog of War and stuff like that. So it is fantastic for all of that. I mean, it's a little complicated to add stuff. You have to have some programming stuff, but for what they're using it for, it works perfect. I couldn't ask for a better setup. And if you play with me, all you gotta do is download the demo. You don't have to pay anything. Mm-hmm. In fact, a lot of times, except for like today, if you were to say, hey, Rob, can you bring up your computer and just leave it on so I can look at my character and read about everything. That's all I got to do is I just got to have it logged in and they can join and leave the game at any time and just go through their character and say, oh, let me read about these special abilities that I have, or let me read about my spells that I have. And they can read the entire player's handbook in there and everything. It's all there at their fingertips as long as I set it up for it. And it works amazing. I'm so impressed with Fantasy Grounds. And I mean, there are other tabletop programs out there like Roll 20, and yeah, Roll 20 is free, but for what Fantasy Grounds has, everything built into it. Like literally, what I'm looking at is the map of the dungeon I'm at, and I literally just click on a pin, and it tells me everything that would be in that room, and the description of the room and everything. Like I was looking at it at the book. I mean, it's the exact PDF of the book right mm-hmm. there. And honestly, the best thing about it is, since I've bought everything now, everything new that comes out for Fantasy Grounds for D&D, I get off at 25% off. So I bought the hardback book of, King's Thunder or something like that. I bought that book for $50. I went online and bought, the Fantasy Grounds version of it for, I think it was $30. or like $28 because I got 20% off and it's normally $35 just for the PDF. Or it's not even a PDF. It's all built. All the maps are in there. All the pins are set. So you just click on the pin. I mean, it's already built for you. You're just basically opening up and playing it, and it is fucking amazing how easy everything works. The only bad thing is that sometimes your screen can be a little small. And so when you're trying to get a whole bunch of maps and stuff on the screen or whatever, it can be quite cumbersome, but that's the only complaint I have about it. And that's more of the complaint of the size of your monitor than it is the program itself. Cause what I probably will end up doing is taking the big 32-inch TV, bringing it in here and hooking it up so I can just run the game off it and just use everything to laptop. But it's fantastic. I couldn't ask for a better program, and it worked great. Twitch streamed it. I've never had an issue with Twitch streaming it. The only person we had issues with is Sean kept turning into a robot. But he does that during every show we record. I don't know what the deal is.
Because I'm the real one. He's just a robot version.
So I'm sorry. I didn't mean to gush so much about Fantasy.
I was like, that sounds awesome. I wasn't expecting you to talk that much, but it sounds really cool.
Yeah. So if you guys want to check it out, you can just download Fantasy Grounds demo and find somebody that wants to play. I mean, you guys will have to if you want to play with me at some point. So.
And you said in your video on Facebook that you really like dice. Do you like all dice or just like D20s or?
No, I mean, I just buy dice sets.
Okay.
Because
I got so many dice.
No, I honestly like to go like then buy the Chessex dice sets for D&D.
Yeah.
And they're just like, you know, I find a color set that I like and, you know, I'll buy it. So anyway, Corey, did you have anything else?
No, but I do want to comment on Mark calling me a giant. I thought that was pretty funny.
You are a giant.
I'm not a giant.
How tall are you? I'm a
normal-sized person. 6'2" and a half.
That's giant enough.
Mark, what do you want to plug?
I want to take 2.5 of his inches and add them to me because I don't like being short. It's the worst.
But then how will Corey have a dick if you take all 2.5 of his inches?
Can we stop talking about my penis?
Rob said it. I didn't. Don't blame me. Yeah. I really am annoyed by my height, though, because when I was young, my doctor said, you'll be at least 6 feet. Fucking lying bitch.
How tall are you?
I'm either 5'7 or 5'8. It's whatever. It's a worse. Short. It's average. It's short enough. It's not 6 feet.
It's just like Corey's dick.
And like the annoying thing is my arm span is 6'1". So like, it's the worst because I buy shirts that fit me, but they don't fit my arms. So it's just like, it looks like I'm trying to show off my arms because they just ride up all the time. I'm like, no, I don't want to do that.
Me, my shoulders are so broad, my arms are short. So yeah. Anyway,
it's crying.
Mark, what did you want to plug?
The site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com, where you can find this podcast, Pixelated Paranormal, and, of course, the podcast I do, Pixelated Sausage Podcast, which I don't sing on. I haven't sung on that show in, like, 200 episodes.
But you have sang, so shut up. You sang.
So what?
You have sang.
Yeah, but you made it sound like I sing all the time on it.
Well, you fucking might. I don't know. I don't listen to it.
Yeah, exactly. You don't listen to it.
You know,
I'm gonna delete.
Nonsense.
I'm just going to. You're never going to know because you don't listen to this either. I'm just going to put my show in all the feeds for Pixelated Paranormal and Pixelated Radio.
Somebody will complain.
Who cares? I'll hide it. But yeah, that's the site. I can be found on Twitter, Instagram, Xbox Live, all the usual places at PX Sausage. On PSN, I am the Kush 3. And yeah, if you want to support our podcast, the site, and whatnot, you can go over to patreon.com/pxs and put in a few bucks there. I also put a lot of my art on the site, and there's a print store with a big button you can find that will go there. Check out some of that stuff. Order some things. Or not. I don't give a shit. I did recently do a No Man's Sky piece. Very simple thing. But that's there. That's it. Bye-bye.
And I'm Henderson Man, and I do Pixelated Paranormal.
I first thought Corey put a big pink dildo up to his mouth. I was like, what is going on?
Pixelated Paranormal with Sean and Preston, who are also on the D&D podcast. And hopefully that goes up on, what was it, Wednesday?
Hopefully I'll get the fucking episode.
Wednesdays, Tuesdays. Mark, Sean's handled it now, so.
I know.
It's a crapshoot when it.
I don't know what he does between recording to this, because there's not that.
He is a fucking perfectionist. Oh my god, he is a fucking perfectionist. It drives me insane. I'm like, he goes, he had a fit when I said we're gonna have to record this over a Malto because I can't get anything to work. No. He's a fucking pixelated paranormal Nazi. So, but I don't care because I'm not doing it. I even gave him hosting duties of the show.
Yep.
So
I still fucking cannot stand this stupid fucking season thing. God.
Well, you better get used to it because D&D will have a second season too if we get through season one. So they'll have to start off with all new characters, and Corey will have to come up with new names.
What? No, I can just recycle them at that point.
Anyway, yeah, and come watch us on Wednesday night on Twitch with Big Steven, Sean, Preston, and Corey, and I, as we delve deeper into the Curse of Strahd. Yay. All right, everybody, have a good night.
No, I just spit on myself.
It's weirder to watch you do that.
No, let's fucking hang up. What's wrong with you people? You're hang up, Rob.
I'm sorry. It had two different versions running.